Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Diz After Dark, where I'm your host, P-Dubs, and joining me, as always, is Craig.
Hello.
And Mr. D.
Hello there.
How's everyone diddling?
Fantastic. Doing all right?
Oh, another month, mate. Another month nearly done. Second episode of Diz After Dark already. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do a little news segment. There might not be a lot. I've got some news. There might be a couple of little bits, and then we're gonna pass over to Mr. D for a new little segment. Mm-hmm. So before we start talking about the news, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, what is everybody drinking? And Craig's already forewarned us, so I'm gonna pass it straight to him.
I'm drinking a little whiskey liqueur, Gleeve.
Oh, Gleeve, yeah, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, tangerine, honey, spiced whiskey liqueur. Nice. 35%. I've got it over a fuck ton of ice, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Product of Scotland, aye.
And talking of Scotland, Mr. D, what are you drinking?
Well, he's gone to Scotland and the Scotsman's gone to the Czech Republic, I think.
At least you didn't say you'd gone to Liverpool.
No, that's true. No. So I've got, I tried it once before on the podcast, I think. I've had it in the cupboard for a while. Somebody gave it to me as a present. But it's also a liqueur type thing. But it's a Czech liqueur. And it's actually a hazelnut liqueur. It's called, I haven't got the bottle in front of me, but I think it's called something like Solopika, something like that.
Solopika.
Anyway, Solopika, something like that anyway. It's rather nice. But yeah, nice flavour.
So I'm letting the side down. I've spent the weekend eating fast food and theme park food. So my guts are fucked as hell. So I'm drinking water.
We're not so surprised.
My body did not like eating McDonald's and theme park crap. I've spent the weekend at Legoland, so...
So all your turds are like square.
Yeah, they're painful on the way out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, as I said, we are going to look at some news. I've got a little bit to kick off. We finally got confirmation that the Fantasy is heading to Europe next summer, not this summer, but 2025. So we have got news of the cruises that it will be doing out of Europe, and specifically I'm going to look at the ones in Southampton because they're obviously what we would be looking at. So for two people, this, the range of prices. So we've got 3-night to 8-night cruises out of the UK. So we're starting the first one, and it goes as far as Belgium. That's its one and only stop on a 3-nighter, yeah. Zeebrugge. And for two people, that starts at £1,834.
For two?
That's for two, yeah.
That's good, I think.
But it is only for 3 nights, and you have one stop.
Yeah,
that's boat time, baby.
Yeah, but it's not Castaway Key, is it?
No, not exactly.
It's the North Sea. You can, I mean, maybe you can shoot the boat. I don't know.
Yeah. We've also got another 3-night one that goes to France, goes to Cherbourg. Only a little bit more expensive at £1,887.
Yeah.
Then they start going up. We have a couple of four night Spanish cruises actually, but again, only got one stop on both of those, Bilbao or La Coruña, and they're about 2,500 for two people on those ones.
Sorry, how many nights are those, Paul?
Four.
Yeah, okay.
But still only with one stop.
Better stops, though.
Yeah, they are better stops. And then you've also got a couple of five nights.
Mm-hmm.
Five nights!
Which, again, both include La Coruña. One also includes Vigo, the other one includes Bilbao. And they're at just over 3,000 each. Not per person, but for the two people. And then the last three, we've got the seven-night Northern Europe cruise, and that's just shy of 3,500. Again, this is a little bit different. These have got four stops over those 7 nights. Back to Belgium, to Zeebrugge, Amsterdam, Gothenburg, and Kristiansand in Norway. And both of these flirt between about the 3,500 mark. One's 3,400 and one's just over 3,500. The second one is the 7-night British Isles cruise, which, Craig, I know you've spotted that ship many a time in the dock. Again, this does include Liverpool. It also includes Cork, Greenock, which kind of has the excursions to Glasgow and Edinburgh. And also you've got Portland, which is the excursion to Stonehenge. So not as many stops these days. I'm sure that had more stops on it. I'm sure it stopped in Newcastle as well last time.
Am I dreaming? Can you stop a boat in Glasgow?
No, it stops at Greenock.
Yeah, Greenock, just up the...
Okay.
So that's got excursions to Glasgow and Edinburgh from there. And then we've got the final one, which is an 8-night Norwegian Fjords cruise. Again, first stop is Zeebrugge. Then it's Hogsund in Norway. This is ridiculous. This is like you pronouncing food, Craig.
Well, Zeebrugge's quite interesting anyway. I quite like Zeebrugge. That sounds like a 1970s disco dance.
It really does.
I love Zeebrugge.
And then we've got Nordfjordside. I don't know whether I've said that right. Stavanger, which I know about. And Kristiansand again in Norway. And that tops out at £5,500.
Wow. For two people?
Yeah.
All right.
For eight nights. It goes up.
Not too bad, I don't think.
But I think.
But when you consider it's that, one day extra, it goes up by £2,000.
If you, because we actually booked one of those Norwegian cruises on P&O about 3 years ago, and it got cancelled because it was after COVID, but the cruise industry was still a mess, so they cancelled it, and so. We did look at prices again after that one got cancelled, and that is a bit more expensive than, you know, somebody like Cunard or P&O or somebody like that that does a similar kind of itinerary. I wouldn't like to guess how much, but it's a good chunk more expensive, I think.
Yeah, but that's a massive jump as well for one night.
Even like that first one you mentioned, the sort of three nighter to Zeebrugge, even those, I've seen a couple of those on Cunard. Cunard did a couple of sort of repositioning cruises, 3-4 nights. Sometimes it's when the ship is, because they're all kind of maintained and serviced out of Germany, I think most of them, and. So sometimes the ship will go back there and they'll do a little 3-night cruise on the way there. And it's quite a chunk cheaper than what you were quoting there.
Yeah.
I think. So
and it does seem like we've got less choice for that year as well. I'm sure if you put in, because I've filtered it to 2025, but I'm sure if you add, in fact, they're doing 4 months worth of sailings this year and only three next year. They're only doing July, August, and September in 25. In 24, you've got October as well. So let's have a look and see what it does when I change that to this year. So there's 10 cruises this year out of Southampton, including, I think, the repositioning one. Yeah, right. Which we've lost.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have the transatlantic cruise. I believe that's leaving out of Barcelona now,
right.
Okay. Rather than Southampton. When you consider that's 13 nights mm-hmm. with 1, 2, 3, 4 stops is less than $4,500.
Yeah.
For that this year, which I think is really good for as long as you're... I don't know whether I could cope with being on it. Mr. D, I know you did it.
Yeah, we did a two-week cruise, but I mean, there was quite a lot of stops on that two-week cruise.
Yeah.
It wasn't transatlantic. We did transatlantic, but we did the regular QM2 transatlantic. That was 7 nights.
Yeah.
And obviously, no stops.
Yeah. I think 13 nights may be a little bit too much.
Yeah, without the stops, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot just to be on the ship. And the other thing is, you know, have they geared up for it? Whereas like the 7 night transatlantic voyage, you know, they've got a real program. They know there aren't any excursions or stops or anything like that. So they've got a very heavy program of entertainment and events and guest speakers and things like that. So, you know, you'd want to make sure that they're kind of geared up for that if you've got that many sea days. But there's a lot to do on the ship. I mean, you know, it would be great to. I'd love to go on the Fantasy. I've only ever been on the two older ships, the two original ships, the Magic and the Wonder. But you are paying a hefty premium for the Disney Magic, you know, the Disney experience there.
Yeah.
Compared to an equivalent European cruise on another line.
Yeah. So the Norwegian Fjords cruise is pretty much exactly the same price this year, but they do a 12 night one this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which again is 1, 2, 3, 4, only 6 stops on 12 nights, and that's nearly $7,000. That's nearly £7,000.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. So, but it's a new ship for Europe in 2025, as we all guessed it would be. Things are going to be moving around. Obviously, we've got the Treasure on its way very shortly, and then obviously the mega ship will be leaving port in a couple of years as well over in Asia. Yeah. So things are going to move around now. Whether we keep the Fantasy as the European ship, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a one-year only deal. Yeah. But for now, it will be a change to the Fantasy in 2025. Mm. Right.
Interesting, yeah.
Anybody else got anything they want to talk about?
I mean, again, it's been a sort of fairly slow news period, but they continue to show good progress in terms of the Tiana or the Splash Mountain refurb, the Princess and the Frog overlay on that, and it looks like it's going to open this year for Magic Kingdom and for Disneyland in California. But they've also announced that at least in Disneyland, there's going to be two stores, two merchandise locations that go with that. And the first one's going to be called Ray's Berets, as in berry, French berry. And that replaces the current location in the Briar Patch. And it's basically a hat, apparel, accessory shop. And then the second one is going to be called Louis Critter Club. Again, I think that's going to be sort of merch and various sort of themed merch. So interesting to see that. So two stores, obviously got big plans in terms of the merch. Don't know if the same is going to be true for Florida, but that's in terms of Disneyland. So interesting to see how that all pans out.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously Disneyland is already set up for this story. They've got a New Orleans area. Obviously, the restaurants reopen. And it's really interesting because nothing's really coming out about what they're going to do to retheme the area at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just going to sit on its own. Randomly. Yeah. So something needs to be done, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So it's really interesting that all these details keep coming out about Disneyland and not at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
We shall see. The ride looks good. I've seen the boats rocking through the drop. Mm-hmm. Done a good job.
Yeah.
That's for sure. For what's been a fairly short refurb, mm-hmm. really. I know it is a retheme, but it is a complete retheme. It's not like they're just taking some of the animatronics and putting a new skin on them. They haven't. They've rethemed the whole thing.
Sure.
New boats, new everything. So they have. They've done a really good job. It's looking good. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah. Princess and the Frog isn't a film that I hold dear. It's not one of my favourites. But as I say, Disneyland, it fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Yeah. I was watching the, it's interesting, rewatching the Imagineering story on Disney Plus.
I must have watched it at least 5 times.
Yeah, so the piece on Splash Mountain, you know, where they reused the animatronics, and you recognize quite a lot of the animatronics from the previous attraction. I can't remember what that attraction was called.
America Sings, I believe, was the one they used. Right.
Yeah, and then they reused them for Splash Mountain. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see whether they reuse them again for Tiana.
Yeah, but, yeah, I've seen some of those animatronics being very bad state.
Yeah,
at times.
Yeah,
where their heads have fallen off and laying down and all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So hopefully they've done some work.
Just while we were talking, I just had a quick look on Seascanner for cruises, and just as an example. 12 Nights Norwegian Fjord. It's leaving from Southampton, and this is on P&O. It's 2,000, just over £2,700 for two people for 12 nights.
Oh, about £4,000 less than Disney.
Yeah, and obviously that's not a detailed comparison, but that's leaving on the 9th of December. And it is it's a different ship as well. I mean, Fantasy's probably a bigger ship. It's got more on it, but you know, just as an FYI,
and you do have to take into account that all your food is paid for.
Yeah,
which other cruise liners don't. You have to pay for that.
If you want to go one of the specialities, so your food will be paid for, but then if you want to go specialty restaurants, then you need to pay more, but you don't need to do that. It's like a plussing it up if you want to, but just make sure if you're going to go on a Disney cruise, make sure you know what you're paying for. You're paying for the Disney experience, and you're paying quite a premium for it, but it is good.
Yeah. And take into account European cruises, you are paying for that ship to come to Europe as well, because the Caribbean cruises are much cheaper than what we're getting here.
Sure.
Craigie, anything from you?
Well, I actually have just found something that's a little bit interesting. AllEars.net, Costco just changed the game for us at Disney World hotels. So I'm guessing this is for the Americans, but potentially, you know, if you've got a VPN, we can do it. It shouldn't be that hard. Attention all Costco fans, we have news to your up-and-coming Walt Disney World vacation. Your hotel experience has just changed forever thanks to Costco. Big news for all the Costco lovers. You can get Costco groceries delivered directly to your Disney World hotel on Instacart. That's right, all your Costco favorites can be yours while you are at Disney World without having to make the drive or fly through the shoppers. Instacart offers same-day delivery from more than 300 different retailers, and one of those happens to be Costco. Simply log into Instacart, update your address to a Disney World hotel you're staying in, select Costco, and shop away. So,
it's always good. We had a Walmart delivery to us when we first went, when we didn't have a car, because we were staying on Walt Disney World property. We knew we could get to Universal fairly easily, and our shop was waiting for us when we got there.
Yeah, we've done it once. We used Garden Grocer.
Yeah, I think that's who we used.
Yeah, and we did that once. It was when we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter. And it was great, yeah. I mean, you know, we just got stuff for breakfast and snacks for the parks, things like that. But we didn't have a car on that particular, main, ironically, because we were going on a cruise. So we were only there for a short period of time. And then we went on the cruise. And of course, the Disney bus takes you to Port Canaveral, brings you back again. So, and then we had another little bit after we came back from the cruise. So we thought we'll skip the hire car and just use Disney Transport. So to get some groceries, we did the Garden Grocer thing, and it all got delivered to the front desk, and they delivered it to the room, and fantastic.
We did the same in 2019. We used an independent Disney shopper with a Disney sound and name and all that, and they were really, really helpful on the run up to the holiday. You know, we had to go and use, I think we were Publix, might have been Walmart, can't remember, but because we had, like, there was the full it, there was 17 of us on that holiday and four families, and everyone had their own needs, and it was amazing. This old couple literally park up outside, start unloading shopping bags, and we had the porters load the shopping bags all onto one of the trolleys, take them up to our room, and then we bivvied it all out to the families. Fabulous. She's retired now, because we did try and get her again in last year, but she's retired. But it's definitely out there. And like, if you've got a Costco account and you're not a technophobe, definitely save yourself a fortune, can't you?
Yeah, and I think there's definitely room, obviously, now with things like Uber Eats and stuff like that. It's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes life so much easier when you're on property. As I said, we were a young family, so we had nappies and all sorts of stuff delivered. And it was great because, as I say, it was there waiting for us when we landed. So we got there, checked in, and we were like, oh, we've had a food delivery. They put us in a van, put all our food in the back, put us in the seats, and drove us to our room.
Nice.
That was at the Caribbean Beach Resort. So before the minivans, obviously, that's probably what they tell you to do now.
Yeah.
Is order a minivan. I want to get to the other side of the Caribbean Beach Resort. Oh, just order a minivan. They'll take you. but then they were lovely.
We had an Uber Eats to Animal Kingdom Lodge last year. I can't remember what the girls had. It might have been a Chipotle or something like that. But they were babysitting the Taylor kids. So the food was delivered. And for them, there's only so many chicken doujons you can eat. I mean, they're lovely in Disney World. I love them. Mm. But the kids just get fed off of them, don't they?
Yeah. So,
they had, it wasn't a McDonald's, or they might have had a McDonald's, I can't remember, but we sat in the bar and got slowly pissed, and the bar food in the Animal Kingdom Lodge is the menu's so small, you can just order everything off it, and then you're all just graze and pick. It's a lovely little night, just a couple of hours, just a couple of beers, grazing on the food, it's nice. So, well worth it. Getting stuff delivered.
Yeah, that's the way of the world at the moment. Obviously, a lot of it stemmed from COVID. But I very rarely go in a supermarket anymore because my shopping delivered every week. So I've got a bit more news, some TV news. Mm-hmm. The Acolyte The new Star Wars series will premiere on the 6th of June.
Ooh. That's not long.
No, and there will be a trailer. Oh, sorry, 4th of June, not the 6th, 4th. Mm-hmm. There will be a trailer as we're recording this in the next 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So the poster is a lightsaber hilt, but the blade is a streak of blood rather than the Ooh. Actual blade. And the poster says, "In an age of light, a darkness rises." So this is set during the High Republic era of the Star Wars universe, over 100 years before the events of the Star Wars films.
Oh, that's got stinker written all over it.
There's some decent cast. I believe Jude Law's in it, if I remember rightly. Possibly not. No, looking at the cast list, he must be in another one that's coming. There's a couple of names I recognise. You've got Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Obviously known for The Matrix, but also working in the Marvel Universe and the Defenders series. You've also got Daphne Keane, who played the little Wolverine clone, X-23, in Logan. And also Junis Sutamo, try and get his name right, who is more well known as Chewbacca, is also in it. I'm guessing he's not playing Chewbacca, considering it's 100 years before the films. I know Wookiees can stay alive quite a while, but I'm guessing that's not the case with this. So there's some decent names in there.
Obviously, I'm going to give it a go, you know, but everything is set in the Skywalker saga. Everything Star Wars so far has been set in the Skywalker, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So is this the first thing that has... I mean, obviously, I'm guessing there's comic books and novels and stuff out there set hundreds of years before, but this is the first time it's on the screen, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is a trial run, because Disney's very twitchy now with Star Wars. It's always taken this series rather than movies, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think they're twitchy full stop at the moment. Yeah. Talking Marvel, they've pretty much confirmed that Disney told them to produce whatever they could as quickly as they could for Disney Plus. Under Chapek, of course.
Yeah.
That's now been stopped, and it's, by all accounts, they have now been pretty much turned into a normal working studio, where things will be worked on and not necessarily made. And I think that's the way they're all going to go. I think Lucasfilm will go the same way. Though they've been fairly lucky in that they haven't had a real dud, I don't think, with Lucasfilm. In the TV stuff, some of it may not be as good, but I don't think there's been any real stinkers.
I'll agree with that, definitely.
Whereas Marvel have had a few real duds.
Yeah.
With some of their TV stuff.
I've been saving Bad Batch Season 3.
Until it's finished.
Until it's finished, so I can just settle down one day and just binge it.
Yeah.
Because I love that show, and I want to see how it ends.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how many series they got penned in, but I'm.
This is the last one.
Oh well, yeah, I want to see how it ends then.
Yeah, three seasons, and done, because it was a spin-off.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'm looking forward to seeing something different from Lucasfilm.
Hmm.
And it still looks like it's clearly going to include Jedis and Siths. So that's never a bad thing.
Yeah.
And R2-D2's definitely not in it.
No, R2-D2 obviously didn't come along until episode one.
Yeah, and C-3PO wasn't built yet.
No, definitely wasn't. Anakin's like minus 100 at this point.
We might get Jar Jar Binks.
He could have been recycled though for episode one. Do you know what I mean? So this could be what it was before. It could be like a toaster. Fucking toaster in this one, and then he gets recycled in R2-D2. You just don't know.
No, I guess not.
We'll have to wait and see.
But no, it'll be interesting to see where Lucasfilm go
mm-hmm.
now, because obviously we've then got the Rey film that's meant to be coming.
Have you started anything on that yet, Paul?
I believe the script's written. They've not started filming yet. I think she starts filming. I think she said in about 6 months. But I'm led to believe it's a very different Rey at this point, because it is. I think it's set about 30 years after.
Oh, she's not on an island, is she, with a robot arm and a bad attitude?
No, I think she's come out and pretty much gone, this is the complete opposite to what Luke was.
She's doing cabaret.
Maybe it's probably going to be set up Black Spire. You are, she'll be working in the bar.
Yeah.
I bet it won't be as crowded as the one at the park.
No, you'll be able to see that bloody slinky dog in the background going past product placement.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, talking of that, for anybody that doesn't know, my geek credentials started with going to conventions. And a guy that I actually did some work for, I did a bit of security for him over the years. He's running a Star Wars convention. And he's got pretty much the whole cast of Ahsoka, except for her. At the moment, including Mary Elizabeth Winstead, which was a big surprise. Obviously, in the Star Wars family, played Hera, but is also married to Ewan McGregor. So they've got pretty much the whole cast except for Rosario Dawson, which you never know, if he sells enough tickets, he might do. But for anybody that wants to meet the cast, Star Fury Conventions is a great organizer. It's been running events for about 25 years. Now, started way back with Buffy and Angel, even earlier than that, Xena Princess Warrior, he had conventions for back in the day, but he's still going, events connected to the boys and anything like that, supernatural. But as I say, this Star Wars event, it's a big one, to have pretty much that entire cast. So anybody that wants to meet them, I can only recommend it. I just thought I'd throw that in there. No advertising, just my personal experience. I know it'll be a good one for anybody that wants to meet the cast of Ahsoka. Did either of you guys have anything else you wanted to add before we hand over to Mr. D?
The other one was just that little piece of news about the water parks. Just that come the 16th of March, Blizzard Beach shuts and then Typhoon Lagoon opens again on the 17th. So just opened, basically. And we seem to be in that mode now of there's only ever one water park open at any one time.
Yeah,
which is kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that works going forward, because obviously they've got this promotion coming where you get a free water park day on your check-in day. So if that drives up demand, it'll be interesting to see whether they have them both open at the same time as they used to be. Obviously, they used to be open right through the summer, and then one of them would close for refurb. I think it was around October, one of them would shut, and then it'd be done for a couple of months, and then they'd swap, and the other one would be done for a couple of months, and then they'd be open again in time for kind of Memorial Day weekend or something, I think it was. So we haven't had that since pre-COVID, so be interesting to see whether that is a thing for next year with this water park promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting considering they have got competition now, quite strong competition with Volcano Bay.
Yeah.
Over at the other guys. So yeah, it's an interesting one that they've taken to this one-off situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, with the promotion as well, it could get pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could, especially when the price of park tickets and things like that. So if you're kind of traveling in anyway, and you're not going to get there until, say, lunchtime or early afternoon or whatever, might think, well, I'll save myself a park day and get a lesser ticket, or a ticket of a shorter duration, and take advantage of this free water park day. Why not? Yeah. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that drives them to open up both water parks at the same time next year.
Did I tell you last year we were escorted from the water park
For bad
by Disney
behavior.
security? Yeah. Did I
No,
mention it?
I don't think so, no.
So we were in Blizzard Beach, and like there's 10 of us, and there's we've got our own private cabana and all that. And it was, I think it was shutting early for an after party of something. I think it was, yeah. So we're taking our time because we were going off to, and again, Kerry will be listening to this in bed now, screaming at me. She'll probably give me a dig in the ribs as she's listening to this bit. But I want to say we were going off to Riviera, but I'm probably totally wrong. I can't remember. But we were going anyway. We might have ended up doing nothing actually and just going back to the hotel. I can't remember, but we were doing something. So we're getting showers and stuff like that, and we're taking ages. And the park has literally emptied around just because it's not a nice experience. I'm not a fan of the park, the water parks anymore. I don't think we're going to bother next time we go. There's always hairs all over the floor. It's just a manky experience. You're trying to get dressed. So we had a shower and all that, and we've got to change clothes and everything. And this lovely cast member in a suit is standing with us, Gavin. And she's got a, I don't think she had a litter picker, but she's certainly got the water bottle on her side and all this. And she's a lovely girl and she's giving it. Blah, 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 blah. And then I just looked around and there's about four bouncers with her. And we're just waiting for people to come out of the change room. Like, and I said, are we getting escorted from the park here? And I said, and we're not going to kick off, like, but are we getting it? And she was like, yeah. Dead polite. Yeah, you are. Yeah, I said, have you got to stay with us in case we try and stay in for this after party tonight? Yeah, that's sort of what we're doing. And she's got an earpiece in and all this, and there's people talking. And then one of them, whoever it was, comes meandering out with whatever number of children they had, and they literally walked us to the exit. We were the last people in the park. It was ridiculous. There was no nastiness. It was all dead nice and everything like that, but it was just surreal. They know what they're doing. They literally know what to do. And yet
It's
it won't
very
just
weird, isn't it? Having that. I did it at Disneyland Paris where I was literally the only person on Main Street. And every time I moved about 5 yards up the road, the security guys would move another 5 yards towards me and
And it
then
was like
slowly
that
creep up on you.
in Animal Kingdom Lodge when I was having the credit card problems, which turned out not to be, as we all know. But when like your voice starts to get a bit raised, maybe, or something is a bit confrontational, maybe.
The men in
I
black
don't.
appear.
The men in black appear with iPads, and they're just in the background watching. But it was. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah, I do like the water parks. They are good. But we haven't been to Blizzard Beach since pre-COVID, because every time we've gone, it's Typhoon Lagoon, which is probably my favorite of the two now that they've added some extra rides. But still, it would be nice to go back to Blizzard Beach one of these days.
We didn't do Volcano Bay last time because Volcano Bay is not a good experience in August. It's too busy, so the queuing system just doesn't work. And I'll be honest with you, if I never went back to a Disney park, a Disney water park ever again, it'd be too soon. I just don't like that experience of you paying a small fortune for your gazebo and all that. I mean, we did utilize it this year. We did sort of get a bit pissed And like he went and did all our food shopping for us, which is something we've never done before. So we brought us all our meals and everything. So we did utilize that side of it. But it's just the walking around in your bare feet and you're going to get your free drinks because you'd all get a free drink, refillable cup. And there's wasps everywhere. And I just don't know. I just can't be bothered anymore. I don't think. Sad like, but.
Yeah. I still enjoy it. Wear water shoes.
Yeah. Or just go and read a book. I mean, you know, maybe that when we watch The Lodge Guys sometimes and they're in like the Disney area for 6 weeks or whatever, they'll just go to a water park and have a share a donut because they always share everything because they're the ultimate minge bags. and they'll share a donut and a coffee and just read a book for an hour. Maybe that's the way to do it.
I mean, we usually use it as a kind of chiller today. I mean, we don't pay for the gazebo or anything like that. I mean, we've just got it included in our ticket. But say we've been up late the night before, then we'll plan a water park the next day because we'll get up a bit later and we'll rock up to the water park about 10 without getting all ready and, you know, it takes me hours to do my hair, you know. Without doing that, I just rock up to the water park and we'll have a kind of relaxing half a day or whatever, and then we'll go back to the resort, get ready and go out for the evening. So it's quite good from that point of view. I do like them. But anyway, that was the news on that one.
Well, right. I suppose that means we can move on. Mr. D, why don't you introduce your new segment?
Okay, so what we talked about doing was every episode, we would do just a little mini planning session just to help people. So, I mean, if you're relatively new to Orlando, Florida, Walt Disney World, Universal, just to kind of give you some ideas about how we plan, what we've learned, tips, etc. But make each episode quite short and focused on one particular part of it. And so this week, what we wanted to talk about is, the first question that I think often comes up is when to go, you know, what time of the year to go. And there are different pros and cons. So we thought we'd have a little bit of a roundtable discussion, just get the ideas from the gangs in terms of what they think about when they're planning when to go. And if any of the listeners want to chip in their thoughts or comments on the Facebook group, then we'd be happy to share those next time around. So, one of you guys want to kick it off? You know, what do you guys think about when you're thinking about when to go to Florida, when to go to Orlando?
Well, I'll go first if you don't mind.
I think ours are going to be pretty similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some ways.
I mean, we've had children, so our first trip with children was in when our Eve was 5. And our Grace was a baby, 2009. And so it was in August holiday. And basically, Kerry's a school teacher, so she's tied to the terms and the half terms. And the kids are in school. So we're very, very much an August type. Whether it's, depending on my holidays, it's either late July or late August we'll go. And I'm pretty set in stone. We're nearly there now where our Grace is 15. So, you know, maybe there's going to be A-levels coming up after her GCSEs next year. Yeah. But we've done Disneyland Paris in a February half term several times now. Mm-hmm. And it really works well there. But for Walt Disney World, we have never took the plunge yet to go maybe Easter time or any other time. October is our Scotland holiday, so we'll never do that. We've never had the option of going in December for Christmas. I mean, myself personally, I go to Halloween Horror Nights every so often, which is always September, October, which is a phenomenal time to go to Florida. But all our main summer holidays have been August. Yeah. And that's purely because Kerry, there's a lot of politics involved around taking children out of school and stuff like that. And Kerry sees it from a teaching point of view that them 2 weeks, they can kids can fall behind quite a lot in school. And then, but the cost implications can obviously outweigh that. So there's no right or wrong answer in it, really. But we're tied down basically with Kerry being a teacher. She has to go when she can go. Last August was 2023, last time we went, was the hottest August I've ever experienced in my life. Especially the holiday, Universal, the 4 days there, was so unbelievably hot. It was burning your eyeballs when you looked at the concrete. It was that hot. So you've, again, if you've got tiny little children, they're quite easy in August because they'll just sleep. They're like little chickens, basically. As long as you keep them in the shade, hydrated, they're happy little bunnies, you know, they're just sitting there in a vest with the water spraying on them and stuff like that. Crowd-wise, it does get quieter towards the end of August because the Floridians go back to school and then the American states all start going back to school. So it does drop off quite considerably in the last 2 weeks in August. We're planning our next holiday in 26, and that's going to be in August. You know, our Grace will have just done her A-levels. So for me, it's we're on the cusp of a change, potentially, maybe a September coming over in a few years. But for me, the moment, it's always August.
I understand. What about you, Pete Dabbs? You're in a somewhat similar position.
We are in a similar position. The first time we went wasn't so bad because we went when my little one was 18 months old. So we found that, and I know you've kind of found this spot as well, Mr. Dave, that kind of the beginning of November, which we really loved and would love to be able to do again because it means we could do the Christmas stuff before it gets mad later on in the month. Obviously, we are now limited. My little one's just turned 11, so even more difficult now because obviously he's moving to the bigger school. Things are going to start getting harder and stuff like that, so it's going to be even more restrictive. I've never taken him out of school anyway. That's not us. We've talked about it and we've just felt it's just not worth it. We, as a family, I'm not so bad, but when you go, Craig, I don't think my family would cope with that weather. Unfortunately. So then you kind of really are restricted. So we found this spot. We do the half term in October. It's just become the one. We love the Halloween stuff. Obviously, Halloween Horror Nights, I'm 4 or 5 times deep now of doing Halloween in some way, Halloween Horror Nights, either in Orlando or in LA. And that's kind of become our spot. We know we can fit in what we need to do in those. Sometimes because of my job now, it's not even 2 weeks, unfortunately, because I am limited. I have to be back by the end of the month and be back in the office for the beginning of the month. But that's become our spot now, in October, and the weather is fantastic. Not had ever, other than when I did the half marathon at Wine and Dine, never had any bad weather on either coast at that time of the year. And it's perfect, honestly. So that's my spot. I've kind of had to take in quite a lot into account to be able to do it in the same way that Craig has, picking when he goes. But Mr. D, you've got the easy route. You're all past this now.
Well, yeah, we are at the minute anyway. But we started like you, Paul, we started with October, but when we first went, it was 98 when we first went, and our youngest was like 4.5, our eldest was about 7, and we were bad parents because back in the day, you know, there was a little bit more tolerance or flexibility towards taking your kids out of school. So we would go at that October half-term week, but then we'd take them out for a week. So we'd go for the 2 weeks. But they were only in primary school then, so we didn't see that so much as a big deal. And then once our eldest hit, and that was a great time to go because it was, you had the Halloween stuff, and like you said, the weather was great. You still got the risk of hurricanes, but we never had any issues. Obviously, you don't get a hurricane in Orlando, but if it hits the coast nearby, you can get a couple of days of, you know, rainy, cloudy weather. But then we had to switch to summer, like you guys, when Katie hit secondary school. And we would go at the end of August, beginning of September, as Craig mentioned, from the middle of August, the American school kids start going back. And so like third week in August and beyond is significantly quieter. And the weather is still hot. It's still very hot and humid. But for us, that was great. It wasn't really a problem. So that was when we would go. And then subsequently, the kids are up and out. So we've got flexibility, and we've certainly gone different times. We've done September a few times, and I think we're going to go next year in September. Tends to be a little bit quieter. You can catch the start of the Halloween stuff. The weather is good, but it's starting to cool off a little bit. You're still in hurricane season, so you can still get that. But then we've gone in October. October's got a lot busier because of Halloween Horror Nights and Mickey's Not So Scary and all that, and the weather being perfect. We've also gone in May, and that was really good. That was similar kind of weather to October. But you have got to dodge the public holidays. You've got to dodge things like Memorial Day weekend, and you've got to dodge spring break, which I think is normally kind of April, March, April.
I think it's literally just finished.
Yeah.
The queues have been horrendous.
Yeah, it's spread out quite a bit, I think, that one. Different states go at different times. I remember when my youngest was going through her GCSEs, I think I may have told this story before, but it is relevant to this because her friend, they were going to go to Florida for the first time. So her parents said, oh, you know, we'll need to have you around and you can help us plan this Florida trip. We're going to go next year. And, you know, and they kept saying, you know, come around. Eventually they said, all right, let's do it. So we went around there all prepared to kind of give them some help. And first thing we said was, you know, so when are you thinking of going? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we've got that all booked up. We've booked up our hotel and our flights. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. So all they wanted from us really was just advice about, you know, what to ride and what to see and that sort of thing. But they thought they'd worked an absolute flanker because it was the year of their daughter's GCSEs, same as my daughter. And so their last GCSE was like middle of June or early June, sorry. So they decided that they were going to go as soon as she was finished her GCSEs, which was a clever idea. It was a good idea, except the only problem was they had the 4th of July right in the middle of that, and they didn't realize that the American school kids go on holiday a lot earlier than the British school kids. They go on holiday from about the first week in June, I think. Every state, or different states are different, but it tends to be kind of first week in June. So if you're coming from the UK or Europe, just be aware that, you know, that the American school kids are still on holiday. June, July, August, first part of August anyway, is pretty busy. So I think from our point of view, September is kind of the sweet spot where you can still catch the start of the Halloween stuff and the weather's good and the crowds are a little bit less, but there is no such thing as a low season these days, is there? Not like there used to be.
No, it seems to be continuous pretty much all the time, and then just gets busier.
Yeah.
It goes from busy to busiest.
Yeah, it does.
These days,
it? Yeah. But definitely, you know, if you've never been, think carefully about going during the big holidays like Easter and Christmas, because it is super busy.
Yeah, we've talked infinitum about my Christmas experiences. It's not pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we went at Christmas once, and again, it was a long time ago, and it's different now. We got there, the kids broke up early from school that year, and we were there for about 9 days before Christmas, and it was fantastic. It was literally walking on everything. And then as soon as it got to the 24th of December, it went from like 2 out of 10 to 10 out of 10 or 11 out of 10. It was just madness. But these days, I think it's busy, you know, it's more busy in the lead up to Christmas as well. I'd like to go back at Christmas, but I don't know that I really want to face the crowds. So if you want to catch the Christmas stuff, we've done the end of October, beginning of November, where you catch the end of the Halloween stuff and the beginning of the Christmas stuff. And that's quite a good option for people. If school isn't a problem, obviously if school's a problem, then that isn't going to work for you. But
I think my dream is to be there over the Christmas period. Mm. I think it'd still be a bit, we're used to, and we're, it's got to be cold, a bit cold for Christmas. I mean, now our Christmas day is always windy, grey, and just wet.
Yeah.
We very rarely have a cold, snowy Christmas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd still be a bit weird going to Florida and, like, but going to Disneyland Paris with Nicholas in early December or late November, I think, whenever it was we went,
mm-hmm.
to see a Disney park at mm-hmm. Christmas.
Yeah.
And especially Disneyland Paris, where it was a bit cold.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just out of this world. So yeah, that is my... That's my dream, to be honest. Yeah. But also my dream is to go for 2 weeks in January,
because
that'll do me fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good time to go in terms of the weather. I mean, you tend to have to take a bit of everything because it can get a bit chilly and a bit cool, and the water parks aren't that much fun. But it is, you don't have to worry about the heat. So if you don't like the heat, there are some options around January, February. Again, you've just got to look at what's going on, because you've got a couple of holiday weekends like President's Day and things like that, and I think there's some school holidays in February. And so there are some crowd calendars that predict crowd levels. Touring Plans has probably got the most long established one. I mean, you've got to pay a few dollars for a subscription to get full access to it, but we've always used that. It's a very, very good tool. It'll give you all the parks, break them down day by day, and tell you, give you a score out of 10, basically, for each park, how busy they think it's going to be. So we've definitely used that in the past. Good. Oh, I think that gives people at least some idea. I mean, a lot of us are obviously restricted to school holidays, but... But definitely do your research. If you can go other times of the year, then there's lots to think about. There's various special events like food and wine. We haven't talked about that. You've got food and wine, flower and garden in the early summer is really good. You've got Festival of the Arts, which is before that, kind of springtime. Then you've got all the Christmas parties, you've got the Halloween parties, you've got Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, Mardi Gras at Universal. So it really depends on your personal likes or wants or family situation, but hopefully that gives you some ideas and gives you a place to start if you've never been before. And if you have been before and you've got some other ideas, then, like I say, hit us up on Facebook and let us know, share your wisdom, and we'll pass that on. And next time we will do where to stay and why to stay there will be our next segment.
Oh, that is an episode. That
is, yeah.
That could be war.
That could be. There's no wrong answer, or maybe no. There is.
I think there might be a few.
Yeah.
I doubt we'll pick them though.
No,
there's no right answer.
No,
no,
that's right. Again, no. These things are very much situation dependent.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you for that.
No worries. Thank you very much, Mr. Day. You came to us with it today, and we ran with it.
You did.
So very good. So that wraps up March for Diz After Dark. Two episodes again. Thank you very much, boys, for joining me. Yeah, it will be Easter by the time the next episode comes out. Easter will be gone.
Yeah.
At that point. So thank you very much, boys. As always, thoroughly enjoyed that.
Always a pleasure.
We thought we were going to be scrapping for an episode.
Never usually a problem.
No. We talk too much. Even without Nick here, we still talk too much.
Yeah.
But we will see you in April for another episode of Diz After Dark.
Happy Easter.
I'm going to go and subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Everybody should go and subscribe to his YouTube channel.
What, Nick's?
Yeah.
He's eating stuff now just to get likes.
Yeah, I've seen some of his posts.
Yeah.
Why? Because we like you.
Kick it! Kick it!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.